We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Yeah, it wasn't a matter of fatigue. You know, Dallas jumped us. Their shot making, for sure. But they also had 17 in transition, you know, in the first half. And yeah, our offense was a little bit funky. Some of that is to be, you know, not expected, but you have to weather some of these storms, you know, as we're incorporating guys back in and, you know, some of the lineups. I'm not even saying that as an excuse, but we have a formula of how we can win games. And it's not necessarily the easiest way, but we've proven we can win games, get teams in the mud, and make it really tough. But it takes a great emotional, physical, spiritual, connected commitment. It does, to be able to do that. But we've also proven that when we do that, the energy changes for us offensively. We have a great group. We have a very competitive locker room. Our guys want... We all want the same thing. And sometimes, you know, this league it can just really humble you. And that's what happened tonight. So we're going to regroup. We've had to do that several times this year, and we keep on finding a way to bounce back. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to focus on the next 48 hours to get ready for another battle. I don't even care what's going on in the standings. I just want, you know, our team playing the way we're capable of playing, and that's what we're going to look to do these last two games.
All right, welcome back. Boy, that was Spo last night, giving an idea what he's thinking here with two games left before a potential play-in and now a long shot at making it out of and not having to play the play-in and just go to the playoffs. Ron Rothstein, Valley Sports Heat, former head coach, longtime great NBA defensive coordinator. Ron, good morning. How you doing, bud?
Hey, Joe. How are you?
I'm good. I listened to some of the stuff with you last night. I just your take on last night's game overall. Obviously, a big game for Miami, wanting to play well against a really good Dallas Mavericks team.
Yeah, they're playing the best basketball in the NBA right now. Their record proves it. They've got two elite.
Yes.
Playmaking shot makers. The addition of Gafford and PJ Washington at the trade deadline has really solidified that group. I mean, when we played them back in March, that we lost to them. That was the start of this current streak.
Yeah.
And if you listen to all the noise at that point, Jason Kidd was on the hot seat.
Wow.
And now he could be coach of the year.
Yeah. Boy, that's changed quickly.
And the NBA, yeah, the NBA, you get coach of the year, it's a kiss of death. You don't want it. It's not good.
Hey,
that's the truth.
You know, Ron, I come here in the morning, and I was like, you know, I feel good, and I know they turn it on in this playing thing. They don't fear it. They're not worried about it. We can get to where we want. But I just keep waiting. I thought at the end of the year we'd be over 10 games, over 500. I just thought they'd be overall playing better. Well, can you get a feel for this team, or is it you're not worried about it? They'll get through the playing, and here we go.
Well, look, this is eerily familiar or similar to last year.
Yes.
It really is. But, you know, you put yourself in jeopardy. If you're going to have to go into the play-in, and we're in the play-in, there's no question. But, well, let me just say this. Mathematically, we're not out of sixth place yet. And
you
I believe I'm right when I say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you are. You are.
Yeah. We have to have another eclipse of the sun.
Yeah.
Okay.
You need Orlando. Yeah, you need Orlando to lose their games, and you're waiting for other teams to lose these last two games to have a chance.
And you know what? At this point in time, the truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter. You are where you are, and you got to deal with your situation. that's the thing that struck me the most. But when Spo was talking last night, near the end, he said, you know, we got to deal with what's in front of us, okay? And that's the truth. So we got to hopefully win the last two games. We should win the last two games. That'll give us 47 wins for the season. Last year, we only had 44. And we lost that first play-in game last year. But if you're 7 or 8, you get a second chance.
Yeah.
So we're going to be in the same situation. Most likely, we're going to play Philly. Most likely, they'll be 7. We'll be 8. We'll see. And then you just got to deal with that. As far as the team is concerned, yeah, I'm concerned. I don't like the way we're playing. I really don't. I think I'm watching Bam, okay? And look, your best players, Bam and Jimmy, are not playing great. And that's concerning, all right? But things can change real quickly. And I watched our team last night, and I thought our guys were tired. Not an excuse, a reality. 5-7, all right? It doesn't happen a whole lot in the NBA anymore, but it just happened. 5-7, especially at the end of the season, that's a tough stretch.
Yeah.
Those are almost, some of those games, like last night, is almost a scheduling loss. On top of that, we got to play these guys who are the hottest team in the NBA. And I got off to a great start. And they do the things that they do, that they've been doing in the last 20 games. They did them all last night. They made shots. They took care of the ball. They were solid defensively. We only had 4 fast break points because we couldn't bust out. They always had numbers back. We could never get an advantage in the open court. They did a really good job rebounding the ball. And to be quite frank, Bam and Jimmy, they struggled. Their 2 best players were terrific. Our 2 best players had a hard, tough night. That's tough to overcome.
Yeah, to your point, 54 points for Kyrie and Luka and 20 points for Butler and Bam together is just not going to cut it as your 2 best players. So, hey, Ron, I got to ask you, you've been a head coach and you've had to make decisions like that are coming up. Is there a chance, Spo, knowing the play-in game is just a few games away too, is there a chance he rests guys on Sunday if he realizes we can't go anywhere, that maybe give Jimmy Butler one more day off?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's an absolute possibility, yeah. No question. He's done it in the past.
Yeah.
We've always done that. That's been the MO here. If the game near the end of the season not going to change where you are or who you're going to play, yes, you give your, especially if the guys need it, you'll give your main guys some rest.
So, you know, Spo talked recently about, hey, I feel really good about our top 9 or 10 guys. And I get it. They played a ton, and at times they've all played really, really well. But a lot of these guys haven't played together because this damn injury bug that keeps going on. And when you start feeling good, and then Duncan's out with a back, and then Rozier's out a couple games, they just have not had any time to play together. How important is that, Ron?
That's important, Joe. I mean, it's a factor. There's no question about it. And the NBA doesn't tolerate excuses, but reality is reality.
Yeah.
Okay? And yes, this league can humble you just like, you know, the NFL can humble people. This league, you know, professional sports.
Yeah,
professional sports can be a very humbling situation. Not having your guys together consistently, it's tough. It really is. And it's hard to generate a rhythm, a feeling, a connectivity. With all the numbers, if you look at some of the other teams that have, I think, above us in terms of games lost to injury, I know one is the Grizzlies. They're not even in the play-in, okay? I think we're 3rd or 4th in the league in games lost to injury, yet we're still in the mix.
Yeah.
And that happened last year, and we got to the NBA Finals. You just got to deal with what's in front of you. Take it day by day. And go from there. There's no other way to approach it.
Ron, I think there is one thing you'll agree on, and I said this yesterday, from 2-8, seeds that are 2-8 in the Eastern Conference right now, wins between 49 with Milwaukee down to 44 with the Heat. I got to tell you, outside of Boston, who really has been consistent and scares you coming out of the play-in for the 76ers and the Miami Heat? As they, I think you want to stay away from Boston in the first round if you can, but outside of that, you got a chance to win against all those teams. A lot of them have struggled, the Clevelands and Milwaukees.
Well, Cleveland's dealt with some injuries, and they've done a very, very good job. Philadelphia, to me, is the scariest team because now they got the big guy back. And I think their record before he got hurt was like 28-7. He's back, and he's out. And the amazing thing about Embiid is he shows up, I think, in his first game, and he drops 30.
Right away. Numbers are right back. Incredible.
I've seen so many guys that long come back, and it takes them. You almost lose. You're going to lose two or three games getting them back in rhythm. I've seen it happen over and over. And this guy walks in, and it's like nothing. He never missed. And he's a unique talent, just like Jokic. Those two guys, they're just unique players. And you know, Maxey has emerged and blossomed. Mm. And they got that they got some pieces around them. Kelly Oubre is really been a terrific pickup for them. And Philly's on a roll right now. They've won, I think, 5 or 6 straight.
Yes.
And I think that's the most in the NBA.
Hey, Ron, the other thing, speaking of hot, I've been surprised. I don't know if you were. Tyler Herro's looked really good since coming back. He missed so many games. I thought there was going to be rust. I love the way he's bouncing around, his confidence to shoot the ball. I know last night he didn't shoot a high percentage. What's been your thought on Tyler Herro's 4 games back?
Well, I agree with you, Joe. I say the same thing, and I'm a bit surprised he's that effective right away. You know, the same scenario, miss all those games. Takes a little while to get your rhythm and your feel back, but he stepped right up, and it's like he's not missed a beat.
Yeah.
But, you know, the guys who have been out, here's the other thing, though. The guys that have been out, they got some fresh legs.
That's a good point, too. Yeah.
They got some bounce. They had some bounce in those legs, you know. I watched Tyler. I watched Bam, and to me, Bam looked like a tired guy the last 2 games I watched. It looked to me like Bam's playing on dead legs. Today's day off is really going to help. You need that day off.
Yeah.
And hopefully he'll reemerge.
Do you, I don't know if I've asked you, do you like the play-in? I like it. It gets more teams. Obviously, the NBA wants to give a few more teams a chance to get these play-in spots. Do you like it or no, or is it too much? You like the old system better?
Based on last year, I love it.
Good point. It worked, right? Yeah. A hell of a story,
no, but
right?
I agree with you. I think it's healthy. I think it's good for the league. I was surprised when they first came out with it, and the way they've set it up, I thought you would see 7 play 10 and 8 play 9. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's always 1, 8, 2, 7, 3, 6, 4, 5. So I think it's 7 would play 10, and, 10 would have to win 2. You know, and 7 would have to win 1, and the same thing with 8-9. 9 would have to win 2, and 8 would have to win 1. You know, and you would be in it. But the way they've set it up is so unique. I've never seen that before, the way we have it now. Maybe it's been done in Europe this way. I don't know, but this is a little bit different.
Hey, I got to ask you, all those years of coaching in different places, especially as a head coach, and you take losses home with you, and they're in your gut, and you're evaluating yourself and your coaches and the players. Are you able just to, like when you're working like last night, you just kind of let this stuff go, especially Dallas comes out and they're on fire, knocking down everything, or do you take some of that stuff home at night, or are you pretty good now driving home to just let it go?
Coaching, head coaching in the NBA is a miserable job. The only thing. the only thing good about it is the paycheck. To be honest, I mean it's.
Ron, that's a good one right there. Yeah.
I wish I would have been able to do that when I was a head coach. But your life is much, you live a much more pleasant life as an NBA assistant than you do as a head coach. Trust me.
Yeah.
When you're the head coach, everything, it all comes right on your desk, right in your face, and into your brain.
Oh, God.
I always felt, I always felt it was a 24/7 situation.
Yeah.
And I can never turn it off. You know, and it's.
No, I'm the same way, man. I do those football games and I don't let them go. I'm pissed. I come into work Monday morning, I realize, damn, I'm still pissed off about stuff. I'm really high, like, wow, I feel like I played or something. It's unbelievable. I've been out of it for 200 years, and I still feel that way. I got to tell you, Tony Fiorentino came on, and he's got great Ron Rothstein stories. You've been with him for a long – well, he's been with you for a long, long time. Ron, I forgot when you were a head coach, you were flying with normal folks, man. You had part of the plane, but you had everyday folks in there, just like I fly every day. And what was that like having people that recognize you and your team as you're getting on the plane? You must have got great comments. He said people come up and would say, hey, Ron, I don't really like the way you're using your bench right now and stuff. I mean, it's kind of a ballsy thing to do, but did you get a lot of that kind of stuff?
Not a lot. Every once in a while you'd get, someone to say something and it was – so Sometimes, like the guy who said, I think Tony told you a story, the guy said, I don't like the way you substitute. He said something about, you guys, geez, I love the NBA. I love watching you guys play, but I don't like the way you substitute. And I said to him, I don't like it. I don't like it either.
Nothing he could say. That's beautiful.
What I meant basically was I didn't like the players that substitute.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You try winning with this group back here behind me, huh? You try that. No, I'm with you, Ron.
Yeah. Good stuff. But actually, Joe, I mean, it wasn't all that bad. But, look, it wasn't – I was with the Pistons in 86-87 and 87-88 before I came to Miami. Well, 87-88, we were the first professional sports team in America to have their own dedicated plane forever. Now, so the plane was ours. We were the number one priority on that plane. And that was Bill Davidson, owner of the Pistons, bought that plane at the time. And Chuck Daly said to me one day before the season, he said, we got to sit down and talk about how we're going to use the plane. And I looked at him, and I said, what do you mean, how are we going to use the plane? We get on the plane, the pilot flies it. What do you mean? And he said to me, when you fly commercial, you play a game on, let's say you play in New York on Tuesday night. When do you get back to Detroit? I said, well, late Wednesday morning. He said, well, you have a plane there. And when you come back late Wednesday morning, do you go practice? And the answer was usually no. Take the rest of that day off. He said, well, we're going to play in Madison Square Garden. We'll be at home 1 o'clock in the morning. What do you do the next day? Do you practice or you take the day off?
Wow.
And I never even thought about that.
Yeah.
And so we talked about it, and his feeling was, the big thing about getting your own plane was your players have extra rest. Don't put in extra practice days. Well, we got to the NBA Finals and lost in Game 7 that year. So
yeah.
Within 5 years, everybody had their own plane
or everybody was
chartering.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when I came to Miami the next year, we were back flying with the people. And that was – that was different, and I had to get back, used to it after being spoiled the year before. And if you remember the first year, we were in the Western Conference. We were in the Midwest Division. We were at 35,000 feet all year.
You're fine with the people. That is beautiful. Ron, thank you, man. I really appreciate it. You are unbelievable. Great. And really appreciate you coming on.
Always great talking to you, Joe. Right. Be well.
All right. Ron Ross, Valley Sports, Miami Heat. Oh, man. Love myself some Ron Rothstein, no question about it. We got to go to break here. We got a lot more stuff. Orange Bowl, food, wine celebration presented by Florida Blue coming up here. Woody, you're going to be there, man, coming up in just a few days. We'll tell you more about that when we come back.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.